You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Practical know-how to help your farm business.
Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. There is a growing level of interest in where food comes from, but whose job is it to inform the public about the process of food production and all that happens to get food onto our plates? This whole thing is often referred to as the farm-to-fork process. When shoppers look on the shelves, the whole story is rarely clear, and this is where marketing, product promotion and commentary by organisations like AHDB is so vital to fill the knowledge gap. I'm John Bates, and making as much effort as possible to fill that knowledge gap is something which everyone can help with, whether you're a farmer or someone working in the supply chain. AHDB has developed a marketing campaign called We Eat Balanced, which can be seen on TV and across social media. Dr. Range is fronting the advertising activity for dairy, and retailers are heavily involved. My guests today are going to tell us the story. So Carrie McDermott is on the line. Carrie, welcome back to the podcast. Just remind us, what is it that you do for levy payers?
Hi, John. Great to be here. So the work of the marketing team is to champion meat and dairy and to help communicate to consumers the positive role it has in a healthy, balanced diet.
So that's that connection with consumers that you've just mentioned there. That's really sort of based on the fact that there's growing research that shows that there's a lot of interest now for about where food comes from. And that sort of led to what AHDB has sort of interpreted as reputation work. And I know that that was one of the priorities that was set for AHDB by levy payers recently in the vote. What is it that you think that's so important about that reputation work?
Yeah, I think it's fundamental. And as you say, there's a lot of interest in where food comes from, but there's also equally a lot of negative noise around meat and dairy. And I'm sure people listening to the podcast have seen some of that on social media or in the press. And AHDB are there really kind of uniquely placed to represent the industry and help balance some of that debate. So we can provide consumers with evidence-based facts. We use the levy money to support our big TV-led campaigns. And we underpin that with ongoing social media content throughout the year, which can reach millions of consumers and provide a positive drumbeat of messaging. And it's really important to say British farming has a great story to tell. So we know British meat is amongst the most sustainable in the world, and we have world-leading food and farming standards. And it's that message that we're working really hard to deliver to the end consumer on behalf of our farmers.
Okay, so you talk about this sort of regular drumbeat and the fact that there's activity throughout the year. So here we are in the first quarter of 2023. What is it that's happening sort of, you know, this month or in this period?
Well, we kicked off the new year with our We Eat Balanced campaign, which actually hit our TV screens on Boxing Day. So hopefully some people will have seen that as they've been tucking into their Christmas leftovers. So the campaign targets over 32 million consumers and aims to help protect consumption of British meat and dairy. So we've had some really good support from the retailers and processors. So we've got 8 million packs where our We Eat Balanced stickers being applied. So that helps consumers link to healthy recipes on meat and dairy. And the campaign's also live on social media, targeting a younger audience and the next generation of consumers, because we know they're really important for our future. Please support our campaign by following our social media channels on Facebook and Instagram. And we also have a new PR campaign with celebrity Dr. Ranj Singh, who joined a morning milk round. So he's encouraging Brits to wake up to B12, as milk is a great value source of calcium and B12.
I've seen some of the social media stuff, and Dr. Ranj certainly looks really smart out there delivering milk on the doorsteps. Just tell us a little bit more about how that work came about.
Yeah, so we know amid price concerns during the cost of living crisis, milk's a great value source of calcium, and one in four consumers are unaware of the importance of vitamin B12 in their diet. And Dr. Ranj is a well-known celebrity, He also has the credentials of it being a doctor. And another little known fact is that he comes from a long line of farmers. So he was the perfect partner to join a morning milk round and spread the positive word about the positive benefits of milk. So the campaign's still running, but so far we've had coverage in the Metro, Daily Star and London Daily News, as well as regional press. He's also supported the campaign on social media. And his tweet in support of milk as part of a healthy, balanced diet had 320,000 views. So it's proving really popular.
Yeah, you know, we have to confess that, you know, these are big numbers, aren't they? I mean, tens of thousands of people, millions of people watching the TV ad. You know, this is really positive stuff. Can farmers and levy payers get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a small but a quick ask is for you to follow our Wheat Balance channels on Facebook and Instagram, like and share our content. And that's quite a small but quick way that you can share and amplify our message. So if you're not driving, please now follow us. And if you like and share the post on Wake Up to B12 campaign, that helps spread the message. We've also recently posted our latest TV ad on social media. So again, if you like and share that, it helps reach more British consumers. Or maybe if you're a dairy farmer, send us a post on farm with your morning coffee or cereal with how you wake up to B12. And furthermore, we're always looking for really positive case studies. So we know farmers are one of the most trusted parts of the supply chain. And on our social media, we like to shine a spotlight on good examples. So we've recently filmed on farms such as Tom Pemberton, Hannah Jackson and Anna Blumfield. So for those of you who are really eager and are doing something, anything kind of progressive that we'd like to share with consumers, please get in touch and we can send a film crew and help spread the message. So I'm sure we can post the link for how you can do that.
So you say you'll be happy to send a film crew, but of course there are some levy payers who've got quite a high profile on social media and do quite a lot of posting and activity to help. But you want more people to get involved, do you?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're stronger as an industry. And if we come together to put out positive messaging that will eventually reach the British consumer, that's all great work. So we have lots of content on our social channels. So one of the easiest things people can do is just share that content that we've already created. But it's great to see lots of the farmer influencers that appeared recently in the Circle of Influence this week and the great work they do on behalf of food and farming.
But that's a really important call to action, isn't it? You know, that there's only so much that, you know, frankly, money can do in terms of marketing. We have to have the good story to tell. So if farmers want to get involved, then, you know, they can do that by getting in touch either via our social channels or, of course, they can email foodandfarming at ahdb.org.uk.
Using all the communications channels available to reach levy payers is important, and AHDB tries to make the most of social media. One way to do this is to live stream events. And at the Lammer Show in Birmingham, AHDB's Isaac Van Herden hosted an event with levy payers talking about farming and talking to non-farmers about food production and what happens from farm to fork. Let's listen to some of that conversation.
So, without any further ado, let's introduce everybody. So I'm Isaac, working for AHDB in the AgriLeader team. Rebecca, let's start with you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rebecca, a mixed farmer from North Yorkshire.
Hello, I am Thomas Pemberton, dairy, beef and sheep, North England.
I'm Amy Jackson. I'm in agricultural PR communications, and I've also done some research about what the public think about farming.
I'm Charlotte. I'm a beef and sheep farmer from Cumbria.
I'm Charlie. I'm a beef, sheep and arable farmer from about half a mile that way. So yeah, it's been Birmingham Coventry.
So I'm Joe Seals. I'm a beef and arable farmer from South Yorkshire. Go on.
Right. So let's talk a bit about the Wheat Balance campaign. Charlie, Tom, you've both been involved with it. Yep. What were your thoughts on it? And what's your, you know, why did you get involved?
So the Wheat Balance campaign, obviously, pushing it. I think the big thing for us, what the AHDB did, and that's the first thing I ever did with AHDB, interesting enough. Good thing about it, it was obviously we did a little bit of promotion for it, but when I saw it, it was with people outside of farming. I think that's the important thing. The HDB, what the money gets spent on, what the levy money gets spent on, is people outside of farming, because they aren't in it. I'm preaching to the choir to a degree. There was the doctor, he did an amazing post on his social medias, got a huge traction, I think 300,000 views. And I think that's where the money is good spent. Obviously, me pushing it, we eat balanced diet. It's not all about eating meat. It's not all about eating veg. It's about eating everything. So it worked really well for me, and I really liked eating. Charlie?
Yeah, same. So kind of different to Tom. I worked with HDB on a campaign before, had a really good experience of it. It had been received really well. So I was really confident going into it that it was going to be done well. But again, I think it's really important to kind of change that that stereotype and that face of farming, and getting that out to the people that we are feeding, rather than, like you say, preaching to the choir. Everyone we're speaking to on socials here, a lot of them are people that are actively interested in what we do already. You know, they agree with what we're saying. So it's getting out and changing the narrative in that wider audience.
And let's be honest, if a doctor's telling you that a balanced diet is the way to go, and you know he's got a profile on other platforms as well, he's not just a random doctor, he's on, you know, mainstream TV, the public trust him. Public do trust the farmers, but you need that, we need that extra bit of help from somebody else who has that extra credibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about putting the facts out there, isn't it? I mean, people can make their own decisions, but they need to have the facts.
But we're all kind of in that boat that you've got to eat everything. It's a key point too. You've got to eat your veggies, you've got to eat your meat. We're not smashing, you've got to just eat meat. Yeah. You've got to just eat veggies. It's all about a balance,
guys. But I think also with the nutrient thing, I think it's really misunderstood and misinformation, because a lot of times either it's supplementary or it will be kind of advertised, oh, it's contained in this vegetable or that plant-based food, but it's not absorbable. So somebody is thinking, oh, I'm getting it from my plant-based food, but they're not getting it in the same way and in the right way. So I really worry about misinformation. I think probably on social media, we see it all the time. And we're worried about saying the wrong thing, but we want to combat it as well. And I guess that's the reason why a lot of us are here today and take the time to do videos and post on social media, because we want people to just to have the facts and then they can decide.
Amy, you've just done your PhD. Congratulations. What, you know, specifically looking at consumer perceptions, what were some of the findings you got from that?
Well, one of the big things that struck me is, I mean, we've been talking about consumers, and consumers are people who consume our products. But actually, what's really important is the public, is everybody, our citizens, because they also drink water, breathe air, they live next to farms. And actually, we probably need to expand it a bit and think more widely about the public, because the people who don't eat meat and dairy are also audiences. They can also be concerned about what we do. So the first thing was, let's sort of think more broadly about citizens and public and not just about consumers. Yeah. Also, I think the public have got skin in the game here. We think that farmers are the experts, and they are, but then we think that people don't understand farming, and maybe because they don't have the technical knowledge, they maybe shouldn't comment. But actually, people do care a lot, because they breathe the air, you know, drink the water, but also they care about the animals. They really do care about animals, and they want to see that farmers care as well. And that's really important. And that's actually, thinking about Tom's videos in particular, I was just looking at one of them the other day, and he's put a cow brush up, and he's so excited about this cow brush, and looking at the comments underneath.
So is the cows. Yeah. It is, because, like, as a livestock farmer, which I am, obviously, like, you want the best for your animals. Yeah. And yes, we know, I've known from the day dot, you've done pet lambs, and we've fed them lambs, we know where our meat comes from, we know where our food comes from, to make sure that those animals have the best possibility in life. And then when we do eat them, it's all natural, and that was the exciting thing, that these cows could enjoy themselves a little bit more on the farm. It was making me happy, because I know they'd be happy, and it all works.
But you know what was great is, you look at the comments under the video, and people say, I love this guy because he's so happy that his cows are happy. That's what people want to know. They want to know you care about
When we care about our cows and they are happy, Tom will see an increase in his milk. We're doing this, we love making cows happy, and it's good for business.
It's profitable as well, isn't it? Yeah. But that's the big thing, is what I found is people want to know you care, and they also want to know you care about the things they care about, that you're relatable, you know, that you share their values.
I don't see anything we do as anything profound, you know, we're not really going out and fighting for it, but we're doing, the daily jobs and showing them in a really positive light. And I think that makes, that builds more trust than, you know, one massive big push. I think it just is, you know, just chipping away at those little tiny misconceptions that people have got. And I think that makes a big difference because it just is honest farming, isn't it? Like you do put, you have put a cow brush up and you were going to do it regardless of whether you videoed it. That's the thing.
I think you've touched on something there of honest farming because that happens. It's amazing. And I think the important thing to do is not just show the rosy side of it. We can all just show the rosy side. Yeah. We all do it. And everyone's got their own platforms and their own right here. Like we've done a cow doing the split before because that happened. It's not all rosy. There are good with the bad. And I think sometimes the bad get pushed because everyone likes to see what they say in newspapers. If it bleeds, it leads, which is a horrific saying, but it's true. But you've got to show the bad and the good, because then when people are consuming your food, they show you, I've shown them the bad things. These do happen, but we're trying our best to make it not happen. We're doing preventions, but it will happen.
And I think, you know, I think in there as well, people want to see how you feel about it. Like, you know, the reason that we've got followers between us is because people like to see the person behind that job. They like to see the human side of it. They like to see that, without sounding horrific, that we do feel when something bad happens, that it does upset us when you lose an animal, something like that. Like, they like to see that human side of
it's
us.
It's empathy
too,
isn't it?
I've got a question for Charlotte on this, because obviously Charlotte isn't from a farming background.
No.
And I'm interested to know your perceptions on the realities. So the realities which we now see day to day, did you know they existed? Were you shocked by them? How do you feel about it?
I hadn't a clue about farming in general, and I mean, no knowledge whatsoever. Honestly, the odds are against anybody to get into farming, and how I've managed to do it, I do. It's just been a stroke of luck that I enjoy it and I love it. I didn't have a clue about anything, and luckily I have Roy's very supportive, but he's also, like those of you who have met him, he's quite hard. And he said, go out and you learn, go and make your own mistakes. And it's one of my first jobs was go and mother that calf on. Now, for someone who's come from a non-farming background to be faced with an animal of that size and then a kicking animal of that size, not just, you know, it didn't want that calf. And that was my job to put it on. So I learned the hard way, I think, from the bottom up. And it gave me an overall respect, which has pushed me to share the story more, because I understand why people are so concerned, because I would be as well. And I mean, my friends from Preston, like I have a friend who's a teacher, and she genuinely texted me one day and said, can cows walk up steps? It was a conversation in the staff room. And although it's silly, it shows the lack of knowledge that people do have on basic things. And that's why I think we're doing such a good job between us.
I think that cow and calf example is really, really good, because it's showing that you could have just left it. You could have said, well, that calf's never going to make it with that mother, and ignored it. But it shows that human element, that you still have an instinct to look after that animal, and that is there whether you're from a farm or not.
Oh, when things go wrong, honestly, genuinely, like you all will know it, really. And you can't like, we had a bull that it terribly had an abscess in its, not to go too much detail, it was very poorly. Anyway, it had an abscess somewhere. It shouldn't have had an abscess anyway. And it ended up being put down. And I took a video at the time of me sat at the kitchen table in tea. And I was, oh my, I can't even tell. I was heartbroken, but I didn't post it, because I think sometimes there is a step too far and you don't want to go over that line to make it unpalatable for people, because you lose your audience as well.
That is my question about balance. So, you know, you guys, you're all, you know, active on social media. You've got your following. We've talked about some other stuff with the doctor. What other ways can and should we, could we engage, or how do we push that message even further?
I think getting into schools and targeting the younger generation, it's something I'm really passionate. I do the Farmer Time stuff. And, you know, we have a lot of groups out, like whether it be Scouts and Cubs and school groups, and it's drilling it into that pliable age. You know, they're young, they're learning, they're willing to take on information, they're not judgmental about things. I think that is so important. Getting it back into the curriculum somehow. So for those of you that don't know, Farmer Time is a scheme where it's getting farmers video chatting to school kids direct from the farm. So farmers don't actually have to leave the farm. They don't have to go into the schools, because, you know, that's time consuming. You can soon lose half a day doing that kind of thing. But it's taking 10, 15 minutes to speak to a class of children. You try and keep the same class, and you build a relationship with them. You nurture that relationship. You show them what you're doing through the year, tie it in with their curriculum, and you show them what you're doing. And it's
it can
what
be.
What do you do? Just like film and you walk
around
the farm?
Yeah, literally. Well, it's like kids.
I was actually just going to say a bit about the importance of people seeing a real life farmer and hearing from real life farmers, because what I found in my research is I talked to 60 people and spent like an hour with each of them asking them all about farming, and they see all these images, like even if they watched Countryfile, they'd see pipes and tubes and gates and mechanization, and they would form a vision, and they're worried about what farming's like, and they don't understand necessarily what that picture means. But then when they meet a farmer, they say, oh, but there's this woman down the road, she's got a robotic milker and she loves her cows and blah, blah, blah. So that balances that image she's got. And that's so important, because the more farmers they know and understand the motives of, then the less these sort of images are going to be misunderstood, or negative images are going to take root. So that the farmer interaction is really important. So they understand you, share their
values. You know what really warmed me at one point? We went to Yorkshire Show and I was stood next to sheep pens, and I heard a girl who was clearly not from farming. She had three kids with her, and she was explaining to her husband how flystripe worked in sheep. And I thought, do you know what? Someone has nailed it. Yeah. I'm from TikTok. Yeah. And I thought, that is what it's about. That is telling someone why we do what we do and showing them the bad sides of it, but also showing them like the preventative measures that we take. And she really got it. And I thought, do you know what? Someone has made a difference to that
it's
there.
It's so rewarding.
Yeah, it was. Well. It was.
I was going to ask, is there a kind of magic key that farmers can use or, you know, harbour when they're trying to address and be as approachable as possible to the public?
I think that what we tend to try and do is we say we want to educate the public. So we tell them and they change their minds. Actually, we need to listen to them, listen to people's concerns and meet them in the middle, and maybe think about changing what we do. And sometimes, you know, you were talking about not being afraid to talk about the difficulties. People don't expect perfection. They want honesty and they want to know what the difficulties are. And as long as people are trying and we're seeing the issues and we're recognizing and listening to people and say, yeah, we understand, you know, you care about this, we hear you. That's what it takes, is people just want to be listened to and heard and their concerns listened to, because they've got skin in the game too.
I think the perfection as well, when we show something as too perfect, it's not quite as trustworthy.
It's
showing
not.
It out it's related about to.
YouTube and like social media, it's not perfect, it's not polished, it's not like highly edited. Like
you need it, people want it to be relatable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If it's perfect, it's not achievable.
Yeah.
When people, farmers sometimes talk about, oh, we get really early and we're really hard. I mean, that's fine, but so do a lot of other people. And I think it's about reaching out on the fact that you're also, you know, you've got brothers and sisters and you care about your animals and you are upset if something happens. I mean, what everybody does, they need to know.
You don't want people to be grateful for you. You're just trying to put your message across.
Yeah. I think on the hours thing, that's really interesting, because it really depends on the type of farming system you're doing.
Yeah.
Because in lambing, you have late nights, early mornings in lambing. Dairy is consistently early mornings. Yeah. But then I've seen some people who try and finish earlier in winter. So I think you're right. It's relatable that you're busy in farming. There's always a job to do.
Yeah.
But what's not relatable is us preaching being how tired we are. But people often have that perspective, and we just go along with it. You're a farmer. You must be so busy. Well, yeah, I'm really busy in harvest and I'm really busy in lambing. But in the run up to lambing, I'm more odd jobbing. There's always an odd job. But you've also probably got hobbies and other things. Like you're the same as other people.
So I've got a comment here sent from Charlie's Instagram. Why isn't farming in the national curriculum? So we go to schools to learn, but no one learns about foods and where it comes from. So we touched on that a bit earlier.
Yeah, but I mean, this is something I feel so strongly about. Like, why isn't it taught? I remember when I was at school, so I'm 27 now, but I remember doing geography at GCSE, and there was like a little corner of a page of a textbook, and that was on food and farming. Like, food sustains us. Why is that so, like, why is there nothing being taught about that? Even like food tech, there was nothing about where it came from, why we should be using certain types of produce and the sourcing of that produce. Like, there was nothing on it. It's so important. We wouldn't be here without it.
Why is it overlooked?
I was gonna say, I think talking about it as a combination and weaving it into other subjects, because the simple fact of it is we are never going to get agriculture as like a straight qualification, but it can be weaved into geography, science, food tech. However, the information that was weaved in, it would be about farms which maybe aren't representative of most British farms, and they were more intensive, or and talking about use of hormones and things like that. Well, if you're buying meat with hormones in, it certainly isn't from this country, so, and something's gone wrong.
Just to give AHDB a big plug here, so we work with a British Nutrition Foundation on something called Food, a Fact of Life, where we go and teach the teachers. So we've got some workshops through all January through to March in London and Edinburgh, 150, 120 teachers at a time coming in and, you know, giving them resources that exactly fits into the curriculum, so they can just take it off the shelf and put it in front of the class and make it easier for them.
And then they can use that all their career.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's getting that bias we talked about before it started this, and changing some of that bias. So if you want to get involved with that, look at the AHDB education resources order form, and you can get involved with that. And, you know, and talk to you if you're a school governor, so make sure some of the teachers go on to that.
School visits must be a good thing to have, really, because, like, kids are going to remember that. Like, if he's a city kid and they've gone to a farm, like, they're going to remember that for the rest of their life.
Well, obviously, I went to Sparshot, so it was good to have the students there, and especially with John, the pigman at Sparshot. He taught me a lot of things I know about pigs. So it's good to have the students there. I'm a bit under pressure with John, because if I said anything wrong, he would be like, I didn't tell you that. So, and also just for them to see a different setup of pig farming, because Sparshot is indoors, ours is indoors and outdoors. And then talking about sort of the real life stuff, like the whole cost of production, how much people get when you sell the product, sort of the whole public perception of farming, what's right, what's wrong. Should we be eating animals? Should we not? Yeah, so yeah, all those conversations with students, it's good to give them that knowledge at that age, so that when they get to adults, rather than follow some famous person, tell them to eat cardboard and avocados, they make an informed choice whether they want to eat meat or not.
I've got a question here from Ed Lovett on Rebecca's Instagram. Should there be more open farms and spaces for public to access and visit, including schools? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if it doesn't, even if farms aren't open, because, you know, we've still got to be working past our key aim is to produce food. But even if more farms can offer that space for children, people to come out and have a look, like a lambing open day, open farm Sunday, massive one. Yeah, absolutely incredible. More people.
But the only problem is that what we've chatted about before is because we're mad busy, it's a struggle. But then obviously they're taking these grants away, single farm payment. Maybe that's something. That's a way to get single farm payment. That's a way to get grants to bring more farms into it, and education and stuff. That could be something.
I think one of the problems, you kind of get to a certain point with Open Farm Sunday where you've had as many people in as you can, and then the harder to reach kids are maybe in inner cities and so on. So that's a real challenge, which I think we have to think about.
So geography is a massive issue, isn't it, as well? Like, how do you get children from in the middle of a city to rural Cumbria to see a farm? It's sometimes just not practical.
What Charlie was doing before, you did it all from your phone, weren't you?
Yeah.
You know, technology is amazing. We live in the 21st century.
The questions they come out with as well. Mm-hmm. And they're so resilient as well, these kids. Like, you think, I remember the first time I did it and it was like, I was like, oh God, like, what can you talk about? And the questions they come out, like, they're tough. They're not going to get upset about those things. Like, and these were kind of 7-8 year olds. Like, they're tougher than we give them credit for. So you can be more honest with them than you think.
I was going to say, I think I was probably a bit naive about, obviously it's so easy, we step out and we're on a farm. So I was definitely naive to how difficult it is for people not from farms to get to a farm. But I went to a city farm in London, Surrey Docks Farm, and I kind of walked into it. And if I'm honest, I was a bit cynical, thinking, well, it's going to be a hobby farm, a couple of pigs here, a couple of sheep there. But then when you get there, you realise that children don't necessarily need to see the fact that you're lambing 350 sheep or you're milking 300 cows. What they need to see is the fact that that animal, and this was a really good one because the animals did go off for meat at some point. So what they saw was not the fact that, oh yeah, I've got more sheep than you have. What they saw was animals being grown and reared for food production and being looked after in a certain way. So I think maybe we as farmers have very high expectations of what we want to show the public, which aren't feasible. So a city farm, as I said, I was cynical, was actually, it was in the middle of London. You got off the bus and I smelt mucking. But that is a talking point in itself for these children.
Good comment here on Charlotte's YouTube saying, seeing a perfect field of corn is great, but learning from you guys what farming is really like is so educational. Your town is like me. You know, so, well, that's a job.
That's literally why we all spend the time doing
it. It's nice. And do you know what? That isn't unusual for people to say things like that. And it's so nice. And it does make you know, like Joe said, it's tedious, isn't it? It literally is like, you go, oh God, I've got a video, you know, me putting cows for a crush, and you could do without it sometimes, but things like that make it worthwhile because you are making even a small difference, but you are making a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So finding that common ground, Sir Charles Godfrey last week at the OFC said, finding common ground between all parties concerned about the environment is the only way we're going to say we're going to solve the climate crisis. So how do we find that common ground with the consumer, but also within farming?
Because the consumer wants to know that, well, majority of them, maybe not all of them, but they want to know that they're making the conscious decisions as to where their food has come from, that they're making that right decision, knowing that the food that they're eating has had the smallest environmental impact and things like that. That's what they want to know.
I think farmers are guilty of not showing what they're doing for the environment as well.
Yeah. And it's all good saying about British farming, as in I'm an import myself, so I'm keen for things to be imported and exported. This country would stop without tea.
Yeah, I'm a tea drinker.
And I think about British farming as a consumer, I'd say why. Show me why I should back British farming.
Yeah.
And we don't do enough of that. We do it when we're in the shit, like when...
You're right.
Let's do biting to British. We should have done biting to British 10 years ago.
And we should give people that permission of we're doing the right thing for the environment, right thing for health, right thing.
But I think it's actually a bit more about we're doing what we can, we're trying, we hear what people say. Perfect, and I think that's it. Is just maybe we need to just ditch the we're the best.
You're right.
It's all about the constant. We're never going to rest because we always want to be that bit better and always it's try.
The best according to who?
Yes.
Look at the whole New Zealand Aussie. I've got friends, Kiwi friends, Aussie friends. I can't sit here and say British pork is the best, because what if theirs is better than ours in their setting?
But is that America?
So we're good at what we do. Aussies are good at what they do in their setting. If you're going to have 1 million acres with cows on it, no way you're going to have the same system as here, because it's a completely different setup.
I think something we always play on, like we're doing the beef and lamb boxes and that, and something I always play on is that you are supporting me to get better.
Yeah.
Like you coming to us and you showing us your support. Yeah. Your support, you know, with your money, or even just like that moral support is helping me, our farm, other farmers. That's helping us improve, because we're not perfect, but we're heading in the right direction.
I have a question on can AHDB, why can't it support British? It can't actively say that it's supporting British. Why not?
So that is to do with the rules of how and what we can support. We're a statutory instrument. And there's only certain things that we can say. We are challenging that, and we're hoping that that the law on that would change. But so that is something at the moment we would be breaking the law if we do
that. Is that because of how the levies?
How the levy is collected. Back on the environment, so we had a comment from Rob Scarlett on your YouTube. Why isn't farming and not selling the environmental improvements more? You know, things like hedgerows, biodiversity. Yeah, you guys do a lot of work on that. So how do we, you know, show that to the public and you know, some of the examples of what you do?
I think this might be controversial, but having people in the countryside is actually very beneficial to see for themselves that there are birds, to see for themselves that there are hedges. I mean, we've had cover crops in, which there's a lot of talk about cover crops, but for us, they've worked really well. So they're not only helping the soil, but when you look in them in the run up to winter, November, they were flowering. We had bees and things in our fields in November. So I think getting the public to see them, and actually we're going to have to do that on social media because we're not going to get everybody onto the farm. But just being honest, because I think the arable side as well, unless it's in a big tractor, it's not shown as much on Instagram. So I think showing what you're doing in the fields, I think it's tractors and livestock, which gets the kind of views on the whole. Show actually what's going on in the fields, I think, is really, really interesting. And as I said, see the birds, see the wildlife, because we have loads and we're increasing it. We've got more hedgerows now than we did 50 years ago. But the narrative that's portrayed in the media is farmers rip out hedges to make fields big. But we're not doing that.
Farmers were told to rip out hedges. So then farmers ripped out the hedges and now they're doing what they're told, and people are forgetting the past. Like, it was how it was, you know, a rep rolled into your yard and told you that, you know, production is the way forward, make more food. And then obviously now times have changed, but farmers haven't just ripped out the hedges for their own just for their own benefit. They were told to do that.
So how do we show to the public the hedges that you're planting, the biodiversity that's increasing?
Can I just say some of the most powerful stuff I've seen on social media is where farmers are out in a field and they're saying, I love this. Look at this block of lapwings. That's the point, is people want to feel you care. Mm-hmm. So when you show you care and you say, I love the fact that there's this little bumblebee on this thing, you know, that really hits
home. Like, you get genuinely excited about doing stuff like that. Just as you, and I love it. I think it gives you a certain enthusiasm for the industry, and you go, like cow brushes. Woo!
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, that's what they love. Is they want to see that care.
So it's the animal, the care for the animals, the care for the wildlife environment.
Yeah.
I've seen it when, like, we've been planting maize and I've gone round the lapwing nest, and everyone's like, "Oh, wow, that's brilliant!" Blah, blah. And it's like, well, we've just always done that.
Nobody actively wants to go through.
And our contractors also have done exactly the same thing, but it's seen by no one. Yeah. And it doesn't mean it isn't happening just because it's not on social media. These guys are good guys in general, and they are not just going to, you know, plow into a curlew nest. They will go around it, you know.
But that's your evidence, isn't it? And that's showing actually every time they see that happening, that's adjusting people's perceptions of what happens in farming.
But I think that's a lot of things that we all do naturally that we forget we do. Kind of just do it as part and parcel.
I'd forget to
promote that because
we just see it as an everyday thing that we do. But I think one thing which will be coming, and not just on the wider than the environment, so actually what you can see, we're going to start having foods where the carbon impact and the environmental impact is going to be labelled. So consumers will be actively able to make a choice with food that they see in the supermarket. I mean, I think that I have quite a lot of reservations about actually measuring carbon and all the process leading up to it. However, farmers are going to be more accountable than ever when it comes to labelling and what they sell. And we see it across, and I don't know if you're seeing it in milk, but there's a lot of sectors now where actually, if you can prove that you're improving your environmental impact or you have a lower impact or whatever, you're getting paid a premium, or you won't get paid as much if you're not doing it. So accountability is going to be very, very obvious for a consumer to see as we go down the line. You know, so we probably need to get these videos out and show that it's not just as factual as this has this emissions for that carrot. We need to show the story behind it so we're not at risk of it being so academic and a number on a packet. We need to show there's a real person.
I don't think it's just for the promotion of the industry as well, because there's a lot of talk now, as like, again, very skeptical about carbon credits. There's a lot of talk about biodiversity credits as well. And I think there's some real traction there. I think there's really something we can do with that. And so we're going to need to find a way to quantify that, and whether that is just by documenting it, then we need to get better at it.
So, I mean, even if talking about saving input, saving fuel, saving food miles are all about the environment, you know, stopping waste, it's all about the environment as well. So I think there's maybe more you could add on to your stories around that.
So we feed a lot of food waste that would just go to landfill.
So like, imagine the methane that's come out of that.
Exactly. It's just wasted otherwise.
It's a really good story, because where are the animals going to be to eat that food waste if we don't have animals? That's part of the cycle.
We had a million packets of crisps on there.
That was interesting.
How many did you feed for the animals?
It was a long time opening them.
So we're here this evening, and the title was Bridging the Gap Between Farm and Fork. Do you guys think there is a gap that has just gone?
Whilst there's lots of us trying, it is getting big, or it's the biggest it's ever been, at least.
Do you think people are more interested in the food than they used to
be? Definitely more interested.
I don't think my YouTube would be what it is without Clarkson's Farm. Like, people are interested in it now.
He made it relatable to both farmers and the consumer, which was bizarre to watch, because we were all laughing at him falling over a wall with mules, and we all knew what was going to happen.
So much for our beef, but the Landbox customers are like, what do you think of it? And I love it, absolutely brilliant. It's done so much good for British Ag.
Yeah.
I think it's a really generational thing, in that if you think of our however many generations ago, 2-3, more people were involved working in agriculture. Therefore, the relative who was working on a farm or in agriculture was very, very close. Now it's more distant, and maybe not even traceable within people's lifetimes now as well. So to get that connection back is really, really hard. And somebody commented, I didn't quite see it, basically, think how long it's taken up for us to learn about agriculture. We're doing it every day.
So imagine how hard it is for the public to learn. I mean, because it's second nature to us, we think, oh, why can't they just understand that?
Do you think some people in the past have been guilty of overcomplicating the messages? And that
So my wife's watching this, be honest. And she's a townie. She admits she's a townie. But all people want from away from farming is quick information. Yeah. Like you say, overcomplicate it, like bang, 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 done.
Too much.
Positive. Positive, simple messages.
Definitely. I agree. Yeah, that's my Instagram post out. Sorry, anybody.
But I guess there's like we've said, they're finding this common ground. So different horses for different courses. There'll be different, you know, people will look at different things. So any opportunity to engage. So brilliant. Thank you all for your contribution. A few plugs. So on the bit at the bottom, you'll be able to see the AHDB We Eat Balance campaign and also the school stuff, the education stuff that we do. So thank you for listening in. Thanks you for putting your comments and stay positive. Let's get a good positive message out there. So thank you very much.
If you've got any comments about this podcast, or you'd like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to levypayers, or you just want to suggest a topic for a future episode, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB really does want to hear from you. This podcast was produced by Sarah Meesom. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.